For Indiana Farm news and weather and a recap on the markets, you've got the right place. The Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on the 29th of October, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, too. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. In the news, it's an extension of Indianapolis as the home of the National FFA Convention, and we'll hear from the U.S. Treasury Secretary on China purchasing soybeans. The farm forecast includes some moisture today, but dry overall the next 2 weeks. And bean futures again led the way higher for the ag markets yesterday. Arlen Suderman has commentary on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
A major announcement regarding the National FFA Convention and optimism for America's soybean producers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative. Keystone believes in the power of National Blue and Corn Gold, and they salute our local FFA members during the National FFA Convention and beyond. The city of Indianapolis is now locked in as host of the National FFA Convention and Expo through at least 2040. Eric Pfeiffer joins us with more.
Thanks, CJ. We're here at the Indiana Convention Center, and a big announcement was just made. I'm with Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of Agriculture in Indiana, Micah Beckwith. And Micah, big announcement. The FFA convention is sticking around until 2040. This is great news for us and for the state.
Hallelujah. It's a fantastic. We are so proud to host FFA until 2040. And I think it proves and shows that Indiana is the place to be when it comes to agriculture in the world. The FFA organization sees this. The students love coming here. It's just been phenomenal to hear that. So we're excited and looking forward to a great relationship.
And with the convention here this week, you heard Thaddeus, the National FFA president. You know, him and 70,000 of his closest friends will be in downtown this week in their blue jackets. It's really just great to see all of this agriculture being kind of spread around Indiana.
Oh, it's amazing. And to think that not only do we host this convention, that we also are the headquarters for FFA throughout the year. So it's all these people, these young people coming to Indiana, getting inspired to go into every corner of the nation to make an impact. And we want to empower them. That's the theme of this year's convention, to empower. And I think we're doing that as Hoosiers here in this great state.
Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, thank you for joining us on Hoosier Ag Today.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
And we thank Keystone Cooperative for their support and sponsoring our coverage at this year's National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today.
Thank you, Eric. A meeting is now reportedly scheduled between President Trump and China's President Xi Jinping that could turn things back around for U.S. soybean producers.
In case you don't know it, I'm actually a soybean farmer, so I have felt this pain too.
And that's U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent this past Sunday on ABC's This Week, saying that he too has been personally impacted by the Chinese boycott on U.S. soybeans. He says that a, quote, framework is ready for a new trade deal with China, which he says would include U.S. soybeans.
I believe that the Chinese will be making substantial purchases again.
Although Bessent didn't go into any further details on such an agreement.
I think we have addressed the farmers' concerns, and I'm not going to get ahead of the president, but I believe when the announcement of the deal with China is made public, that our soybean farmers will feel very good about what's going on both for this season and the coming seasons for several years.
Bessent also responded to the recent criticism of President Trump's $20 billion bailout to Argentina, who have turned around and made significant sales of their soybeans to China.
Those soybeans were always going to get purchased. They just did it at a time when the Argentines had lifted their export taxes. So, you know, those soybeans were always going to be on the market. It's a global market. The three leading suppliers are Brazil, Argentina, and the U.S., and I believe that we have brought the market back into equilibrium.
During the last marketing year, the U.S. had shipped 832 million bushels of soybeans to China, but as of this marketing year, that number so far is zero. Trump and Xi are reportedly meeting this Thursday in South Korea. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
Some moisture moving through parts of the Hoosier State today, but we are seeing a dry pattern overall the next 2 weeks. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at that Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what's going on. We've got a strong low-pressure area digging southward through the Missouri Boot Heel here to start the day. And this is going to be turning and moving eastward through the day today across the Tennessee and lower Ohio valleys. This is going to be enough to throw cloud cover into southern Indiana. Pretty easily, we already see it this morning, up to I-70, cloudy skies with on-again, off-again rain showers. And the best rains are going to be settling in down near the Ohio River, but let's just use that I-70 line as a nice delineation of moisture. I don't think anybody north of I-70 gets good rains here today, but you can see cloud cover offshoots of the big system to our south. Through the overnight tonight into tomorrow, that low gets farther east into eastern Kentucky. Then it wants to turn north, shooting right across Ohio. So again, I think we see wraparound backside cloud cover out of this thing in Indiana through the day tomorrow. And we can see some lingering showers in southeastern parts of the state early on through midday. But generally speaking, the low is moving away. The other thing that this is doing is not just clouds, it's drawing down colder air on the north side. East winds followed by north winds will be dominating here today through tomorrow. And then the cool air continues to park here through the end of the week and weekend. In that cool air surge, we see some pretty strong west and northwest breezes coming across the Great Lakes. That means lake effect cloud cover is back, and maybe a few spits and sprinkles because of that as well. Best chance, in my opinion, for Indiana to see that scattered light intermittent precipitation is going to be Saturday, particularly Saturday afternoon and evening in northern tier counties. And then we're back to mostly dry weather for Sunday as high pressure builds in. Large-scale upper-level ridge is in for all of next week. Strong southwest flow in here. Temperatures warm, above normal, and we are dry beginning to end Monday through Friday of next week. Clouds increase on Friday. That sets us up for a weekend front. Saturday the 8th, Sunday the 9th, we see some moisture coming through. Quarter to half an inch there, but coverage at around 80% of the state. Behind it, we don't necessarily cool down very much. Could see another week of above normal temperatures for the week of the 10th, but it's a little more active as well. Good, strong storm systems coming through probably midweek around the 12th. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
The rally rolls on. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Settlements after more gains coming up. We begin, though, with commentary from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I checked in with him near the end of the session. Momentum is what you like to call it as we started the overnight session Sunday night, Monday morning, and into the day session. And that momentum carried Arlen into Tuesday trade on the heels of some positive news and really some hopes coming out of Asia and talks between the U.S. and China. Now we wait and see if those hopes materialize. First of all, though, your reaction to market reaction this week so far?
Yeah, it's all been about the trade deals being signed, the framework reached with China, but also trade deals with a number of other Southeast Asian nations that surround China, as President Trump uses this trip to the region to kind of try to isolate China a little bit and try to contain China. And so that all appears as good news to the market, and it's certainly good. Some of these trade agreements that have been signed are very positive, and I think we'll see more export demand going forward as a result. But the big focus is on China and how many soybeans they might buy and how many have they already bought, which we don't know because the government's closed, and therefore we don't have the flash sales announcements from USDA. A lot of speculation. We've seen the November soybean price reach its highest level in more than a year, more than roughly $1.10 off of its August lows. And so that's been quite a run-up. We're seeing active farmers selling into it because of skepticism about whether China will actually live up to its word. And so I think we're getting to a point now where we're starting to lose some of that momentum as farmer selling is increasing at these price levels and speculative buying is starting to slow.
As you and I speak, late in the Tuesday trading session, after about the middle of the session, the markets fell off the highs, beans falling by about half of what had been gained, corn and wheat going back to almost even. What do you make of that move during the session?
Well, I think it reflects an increase in farmer selling. We've seen active selling these prices. Farmers have become accustomed to low prices, not happy with them. I'm not trying to communicate that. But that had become the norm and they were discouraged. And that puts today's prices in a whole different perspective than if we'd been at $12 or $13. Suddenly, even though you don't like $10.75, it doesn't look near as bad after you've been below $10. And so we're seeing that increase in farmer selling. Also, I think the managed funds are starting to realize we need to see some hard evidence of just how many soybeans China's going to buy. We figure that they need to buy at least 10 million metric tons for near-term shipment to give us even a chance of hitting USDA's export target for this year. And if it's anything less than that, then it probably means ending stocks going up when USDA reopens and we start getting a balance sheet again from USDA. Hopefully they will buy more, but if they do buy more, the rest may be for shipment even in the next marketing year because they already have so many boatloads of soybeans ordered from Brazil that'll be filling their ports from February to August or September.
There has been a lot of hope in the marketplace this week, and you're not really in the business of hope, but what's your level of anticipation that those hopes can be realized?
Well, I want it to happen, but when I look at the gap, what they need to fill right now, based on our conversations with cash sources, they have about 10 million metric tons maximum that needs to be filled before the Brazil new crop soybeans arrive in February, last half of February, really, as we see the significant uptick in boat arrivals. And so therefore, that would be around 367 million bushels. Anything beyond that, I'm skeptical until I see otherwise. I hope it's more, but China will have trouble importing more than that until we get past the peak shipping season from Brazil. And if this Brazil crop is as big as current estimates illustrate or suggest, about 10 million metric tons larger than last year's, they'll be shipping well through the summer, our summer, and into early fall of next year.
The cattle market is rebounding live cattle futures, but feeder cattle remain very much under pressure. It has been another rough week. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, live cattle finished the day kind of mixed. Feeder cattle with more sharp losses. Off the lows, but still a very bad day. And it comes down to the fact that the speculative funds had massive, large, long positions. And the president has talked so much about beef prices that it's become a normal topic of conversation on the news. And if the president has made beef price inflation a headline issue, then you can suspect that the president's going to try to do something to reduce beef prices. So the speculative funds aren't going to take the chance. They may doubt what he may do, but they're not going to take the chance maintaining those large positions. So they've simply been liquidating many of those positions. We did see President Lula of Brazil say he felt like they were within just a few days of having an agreement with the United States to reduce the 50% tariff on products coming from there. They could increase our beef supply significantly. We also have, we know Mexico's negotiating to try to get the border open. I don't know if that's going to be successful, but again, that's another fear factor the funds have on, do they want to risk maintaining that ownership in that type of environment?
Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX.com. Tuesday settlements on Hatt up 3.25 on Dease corn, 432. March, 446, up a penny and 3/4. Over a dime off the high for beans, but November still gained 11 cents, 10.78 1/4. Jan beans, 10.95 1/4, up a dime and a quarter. 3 cents higher December wheat, 5.29. Meats went lower by the end of trade on a quiet trading session. December live cattle, 60 cents lower, 226.57. December lean hogs, 80.82, down 67. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.